the sports news with Monaghan's Galway. Massive X demonstration and used car sale now on, with up to €8,000 off selected models. Monaghan's Galway, the name you trust in Galway for new and used cars. T's and C's apply.
Now Oliver joins me in studio. Oliver, morning to you. Busy weekend in Gaelic games.
There's some great stuff on. I mean, it was largely dominated by hurling and by the intermediate and senior championship semi-finals. We also had the senior B final with the extraordinary drama of a Hasker Fona against Mullia, with goals flying in injury time at the end of the game and an equalising point. Huge drama. That'll be replayed this weekend. We'll have to wait to see who'll be crowned the first senior B champions in Galway. The senior relegation saw Kilcarnarn beat Portumna. The two intermediate semi-finals ended up being one-sided. Ballandarine beating Cylon, Tín Abidinary overcoming Míle Kiar Cort. But we'll have a right good final between those two powerhouses who'll be looking to get back up to the senior B ranks. And in the Junior A final, Shkehana Mobelia Mailock overcame Loughrea by a goal. But really, it was all about the senior semi-finals yesterday. And Pearse Stadium was the venue, and two thrilling matches we had.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, familiar faces, though.
Yeah, it's Turlough Moore and St. Thomas's, who met in the final back in 2020. On that occasion, it was victory for St. Thomas's by 2 points. And looking back at their record in recent years, of course, they've won 7 finals, never lost one in a county final, which is a brilliant record. They're going for 6 in a row, which Turlough did famously back in the 60s. So they'll be trying to stop them making history. Turlough will also try to stop St. Thomas's joining them on 8 titles in the Roll of Honour. Still a good bit behind Castlegar, but the way St. Thomas's are going, you never know. And there's going to be so much on the line, but Thomas's know how to win tight county finals. And looking even at the last number of county finals that they won, you know, beat Loughrea by a point in a replay last year. The year before, they beat Clarenbridge by 3. Then they beat Turlough by 2. They beat Mellows by 2. They're just knowing how to win matches, and the clutch moments always seem to go St. Thomas's way. Even when Sarsfields got back level late in the game yesterday, Thomas has got the last 3 points. In Conor Cooney, they have the most influential and best club hurler of the last decade in Galway hurling. He's going to have to be stopped by Turlough. But Loughrea came into that game as favourites, and Turlough won that by 222 to 122. I think if they can get anywhere near 222 in the county final, they'll be celebrating their first title in over 3 decades. But it's going to be a big ask. And as Sir Farrell rightly said yesterday, St. Thomas's will be favourites every single time they play until somebody beats them. Mm. Will that be next Sunday week? Time will tell. Hopefully they get as good as weather as they did yesterday, because the conditions helped to create a wonderful spectacle, and we had 2 amazing games.
And figures wise, how was Pearse Stadium? Fairly
Packed. Good attendance, great attendance. And again, the weather helps with that. Now, of course, you also have to take into account the amount of people that would purchase the game on stream to watch it, because we've got into that habit as well, haven't we?
Yeah,
so I think the way you're going, you nearly need to add the two, like how many watch the match in person and on the stream, because effectively and everybody's paying the same amount of money. Yeah. Radio, absolutely, with a bumper listenership as well, because there's just a great atmosphere comes out when you get to county semi-final day, and the final will be no different.
Yeah. Listen, soccer, Republic of Ireland are playing Gibraltar tonight in Faro.
It's a huge game. No, it's not. It's not actually.
See, they got thrashed. Well,
Harry, they were terrible against Greece on Friday night, and even the amount of people I spoke to the weekend can't believe that Stephen Kenny isn't gone even at this stage.
Yeah,
it was very insipid. It was poor, to say the least. Mm-hmm. Greece are good, but they're not that good, and it'll be interesting to see how they get on against Netherlands tonight, and what's a real crunch game in Pool B. We're also Rans in international football now. It's as simple as that. And we're making the trip down to Faro in Portugal to play Gibraltar, who make the short hop across that narrow little strait in the Mediterranean to come and play us. And look, the way we're going, we can't even take it for granted that we'll win that game tonight. But it's petered out badly, this Euro 2024 Championship.
So does Stephen Kenny have to go full stop eventually?
Well, he'll get to the end of this campaign, and I would say that is that. Then, you know, we start the rat race to try and get somebody of note to come in and take over Ireland and somehow try and turn things around, because we're at a pretty low ebb right now.
Who would that somebody be?
Who knows? Steve Bruce is favourite in a lot of people's eyes, going by the bookies. So somebody saw somebody having a conversation somewhere with the former Manchester United man. I mean, look, Steve Bruce is a long time out of, we'll say, top end and top level management. Lee Carsley's been touted about, the former Republic of Ireland international, but the English FA aren't going to let him go after his success at under 21 level with their country.
Roy Keane?
He's been touted as well, I'm sure, after, you know, being by Martin O'Neill's side for a few years there in the Republic camp. He's a good idea of what's involved at international level. Would he be up to it? That's the question. Who knows? But we need somebody to just flick a switch.
Yeah, the decision is critical because the team have to have confidence in them, and I think they've lost it in Stephen at this stage. So whoever comes in, the team have to have...
Yeah, there's that. But also, Keith, you have to just admit that quality is not there. And fundamentally, I think this is the price we're paying now for years and years of taking our eye off the ball when it comes to developing talent. And it's good to see even at, we'll say, underage level. You know, the 21s are going well. They've won their first three Euro qualifiers. Like, until we start making an impact there and start getting players in the shop window for Premier League clubs, more and more players like we used to have back in the day. So it's back to basics, really, for Ireland. But you look at other countries who've done so well. I mean, look at Scotland. I mean, there's no reason why Scotland under Steve Clarke should be way better than Ireland in terms of results and qualifications. Look at Wales beating Croatia last night 2-1. Do you think we'd have beaten Croatia at home ever? I mean, no. It's just, something has to happen. We have historically always matched Wales and Scotland in terms of what we could achieve. Boxing above our weight, all of those phrases that are used. You know, you can't really compare us to the likes of England or any of the big hitting countries, but we'd always catch them every now and again. But we're not in a position to catch anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, at the moment, we're worried about
catch gold
playing anybody, like Gibraltar tonight, for instance. So it is a worrying time. And, you know, I suppose from an international perspective, all of the focus of the nation wasn't even on Greece on Friday night. It was on Ireland and New Zealand on Saturday night. Well, what a spectacle that was.
And again, what happened last night with France gone?
Yeah.
You know, it's...
There were two powerful, probably two of the greatest quarterfinals ever played in the tournament.
Yeah.
Either one would have been a magnificent final.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, of course, that, you know, someone said to me, Ireland are the Mayo of rugby. We just lose gloriously in the context of a match that we, I suppose, had to win to try and get rid of this curse of the quarterfinals. But I saw a fear in some of the Irish guys. They didn't play particularly well, but they still played well enough where they were one score away from winning the game. And had that try been scored where they were over the line and it was held up by one of the Barrett brothers, then Ireland would have probably won, which is hard to believe. Then you think of it, New Zealand played a quarter of the game with a man down.
Yeah.
We didn't really make that count. At no point did we lead. Is there anybody out there that could honestly say that New Zealand didn't deserve to win that game? No, of course they deserved to win it. They were magnificent.
They came out so quick, though. I mean, they came out of the...
They had to start strong. Ireland came back into it, did really, really well. Johnny Sexton missed a crucial penalty that would have got us back within one, and then you're always in a situation where, you know, with those phases towards the end, if you're within one, then you're drop goal to win the game and you're a hero. But when you have to go for a try against a black wall, it's impossible.
But they were, in my opinion, and I know very little about sport, they were far more physical than Ireland, or as physical as Ireland.
Yeah, defensively they were good.
And fast. I mean, one of those tries there shouldn't have happened.
New Zealand will beat Argentina. South Africa will beat England. And you'll have a monumental final between those two countries, South Africa and New Zealand, who historically have the best record in this tournament. They're the two most successful nations, and one of them will go to the top of the roll of honour on the back of that victory. So it's just a pity that we're not involved in the shake-up. The draw was very unkind. We'd have beaten probably anybody other than South Africa or New Zealand, guaranteed, maybe France, on... You know, if we met any, like, there's loads of chances of us meeting loads of other countries. We have a terrible record against the likes of Argentina. I've no doubt we'd have beaten Argentina in a quarterfinal. We'd have beaten any of the other home nations. Apart from saying that we'd definitely have beaten France. So it's a pity. But that's just the way it crumbles. And you just hope that they can keep it together.
Yeah.
And somehow keep this upturn in Irish rugby going, because we're definitely a powerhouse at the moment, and the respect that New Zealand have for us now is amazing to watch as well. They realise that they were in a big game.
Oh, they do, yeah. But I mean, the fact that Johnny Sexton is gone,
that's a big thing. Yeah,
is his replacement as good?
Well, they'll have to. I mean, they'll have to blood somebody now and get them moving. You know, time stands still for no man. It's as simple as that. And we can't be overly dependent on...
When do Ireland leave France now?
I would imagine they're on the way back. If they're home already, I'm sure.
Okay,
but so... There's no reason to hang around.
So then Bundyaki, who played a throwing game all
He was magnificent in the World Cup.
Did you see all the Supermax Bundy burgers? Did you see all the flags flying Bundy burger for Supermax?
I'm glad somebody's doing well out of the World Cup anyway.
There's no Supermax in France,
So Bundy and the other World Cup lads, they'll be rested, I'm sure, for this weekend where Connacht start their campaign against the Ospreys. But wherever and whenever Bundyaki shows up, specifically him, if it's okay to isolate him, because I think he epitomised everything that was good about Ireland in this World Cup.
Absolutely.
In many ways, even regardless of the fact that Ireland are gone, even at this point, he's probably the player of the tournament. You know, that's going to go undoubtedly to somebody from New Zealand or South Africa if they end up in the final. But if they're picking a best 15 out of this World Cup, you might only end up with one or two Ireland guys on it. He's a cert. He is absolutely penciled in on the best 15 in the World Cup all day long.
He was so upset afterwards.
So he should. Mm. He was
so upset.
Supreme.
Yeah.
And I'm only sorry for him in particular that Ireland didn't advance in the tournament, because he was heading towards one of the great individual tournaments in World Cup history.
In his lifetime.
And he'll never play better. And I hope he could somehow keep his form going for Connacht, given the season we have in front of us and the big matches that Connacht will have in the Champions Cup. But yeah, it was a sickening Saturday night though, wasn't it? There was just that awful feeling that everybody had in their stomach, where you're kind of going,
once it was started,
this is not how it's supposed to finish. But finish it has.
Yeah, it has. Listen, basketball, Mary are back in contention again at the top of the Super League.
Yeah, they were slow enough in the start of the season, but they got back to winning ways at the weekend. Comfortable enough over Killorglin, 74-69 on Saturday. They controlled the game, a 5-point win in the end for Mary. Mike Cullen and Titans were beaten. Mystics had the weekend off, but I suppose it's early stages in the season for the basketball. But of course, having won the cup last year, we'd hope for more silverware from Mary this year, whatever happens.
Finally, racing.
Yeah, racing today, of course, in Ireland, as we look forward to the afternoon and the bright conditions down at Goran Park. They had their own troubles a couple of weeks ago where they had the weather to contend with, and that had a postponement. But 1:20 this afternoon, it's full steam ahead.
How do you respond to this? This is not an Irish team. There are 5 foreigners playing for us.
I think you'll find there's foreigners in every team in the world. That's the nature of world rugby. Mm. And that, you know, you look at the New Zealand team. How many foreigners do they have? They have the pick of the entire Pacific Islands. Mm. And always have had, you know, the best of Fiji and Tonga and New Guinea or anywhere else around there as well.
Doesn't really matter. Once they put on the Irish jersey,
they're allowed to put on the Irish jersey.
They pray for they play for Ireland. I don't appreciate that comment.
Well, we should look at the same thing was said about Jack Charlton's Ireland as well. You know, at the end of the day, once they have the green jersey on, they're ours.
Absolutely.
Simple as that.
Somebody else just said, I thought it was a great game. It's only a game and nobody died.
Yeah, 100%. Look at it as sport. So. We can be very proud of them, because there was an awful lot of people around the world talking about Ireland for a few weeks, and that's a good thing.
I saw Pat McGrath from RTE had some photographs up online on Saturday night where Shop Street was deserted. Just deserted. Nobody. They were all indoors, all in pubs and otherwise. There was nobody in the streets.
What was Pat at? Like,
he was working.
Down in Shop Street?
Yeah, you asked him that.
All right, so that was the point of it.
The point of it was, he was I seen him as well.
Take a deserted...
Yeah, John already said he was on the junket in Shop Street. What are we going to do with you at all? But I just thought that the photograph was just quite strange.
Could you not have just pulled one from COVID and same thing, like, here's Shop Street.
Listen, have his mobile number. Give Maria an Eskimo. All right, Oliver, thank you for joining us today. And again, if you want to get further details, feel free to email comments at galwaybfm.ie or sport at galwaybfm.ie. I always walk myself into a situation, don't I? And Keith, they were a great team and well done to them and other calls community too. If you want to get in contact with us, you can do so. You can text us and WhatsApp us to 086 38 33 55 3. It's a Monday morning. We're with you until midday. Now, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Just a reminder that the Galway hustings for the IFA presidential election takes place tonight at 8 p.m. at the Ryan Woods Hotel in Athenry. The hustings are hosted by Galway IFA and feature speeches, questions and answers from the candidates. And they will be delighted to see as many people as possible there. Strong Galway IFA representation is expected to meet and talk with the candidates Martin Stapleton from Uala in Limerick. In his own words, a better candidate, more strategic, solution-driven and an able communicator. He aims to restore respect for the farming sector, clear the way for more freedom to farm for Irish farmers, and continues to lobby from there. So that whole event is taking place tonight, if you want to get details on that, in the Ryan Woods Hotel from 8 p.m. I'm joined by Maria Anna Michel, who joins me from Throcra. She's based in Galway and works for Throcra on a full-time basis. And they're having an event in Galway. They're inviting people in Galway to join them on a solidarity walk to mark International Day for the Eradication of Poverty, which takes place tomorrow, the 17th of October. Good morning to you. Thank you indeed for joining us today on the programme.
Good morning.
Eradication of poverty. I mean, I know that Throcra, and I've worked with Throcra for many years, you work with a lot of people in poverty, but eradication of it?
Yes. So we try to do everything we can, you know, to stop poverty so that children don't go to bed hungry at night and don't experience all the challenges that they have to experience because of climate change, conflict and everything, you know, everything that's going on.
Even the housing crisis now, you know, I passed by somebody recently and they were going into a hotel with three children for the night. That's not perfect either, you know. It's but they have. That's where they put their head down for the night.
Yeah.
But it's an uphill battle, though, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. But we just have to keep fighting and keep giving people the hope that someday there will be a better day.
So how is this going to work then? It's the brainchild of local Throcra of volunteers. It'll start in Eyre Square at 1 o'clock, where the Mayor of Galway, Conradie Hoare, will give an address. And participants will then walk to the Spanish Arch via Shop Street.
Yes. So we're asking people to come and join us at 1 o'clock in Eyre Square. And we just want to show our solidarity with people who are suffering from poverty and especially from hunger as well. We all want to just walk together down Shop Street to the Spanish Arch and show our solidarity and show people that we should all try and do something to stop poverty.
And who are you targeting with this? I mean, or is it a target, or is it just to show solidarity?
It's just to show solidarity. Yeah, so the volunteers are very passionate about hunger and poverty and people experiencing those challenges. Mm-hmm. And they just want to show their solidarity with these people. You know, they want to try and change things by gathering together and showing that, because it's in everybody's power to help people.
Mm-hmm. And how long would it take, do you reckon? Would it be an hour? What type of commitment are you looking for?
Yeah, we're expecting it to last an hour. So so the Mayor of Galway, Councillor Eddie Hoare, is going to launch the walk by saying a few words. Mm-hmm. And we have one of our volunteers, Bertie O'Hanver, who is going to say a few words in Irish as well, and then we'll proceed to walk down.
And is this happening all over Ireland, or is it just in Galway?
Just in Galway, actually.
Wow.
Yes, it is very much, when we're saying it's the brainchild of volunteers, it is very much an idea that came from a conversation we had together with volunteers over the summer. So yes, it's just in Galway.
And again, Throcra's history is owned by the people of Galway and right across Ireland, who together for 50 years have demonstrated unyielding solidarity with the people who are marginalised and discriminated against.
Yes, and Throcra's work is being done thanks to the support of Irish people and people of Galway. Mm-hmm. Without that support, we wouldn't be able to do all the work that we do overseas. So I suppose we always say Throcra belongs to you all because you're all supporting us.
Yeah, but I mean, the work that Throcra has done, I've seen it abroad myself many years ago now, but the work that it does at home and abroad quietly is the fact that you're based in Galway. You know, they take it so seriously that you are based in Galway City and you work full-time for them.
Yes, it's good to have a presence actually in Galway and have a presence in the west of Ireland, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, the work continues. And, you know, before coming on air, we were talking about how life has changed altogether for a lot of countries in the last couple of years. And Throker are stuck in a lot of those areas trying to save lives.
Yes. Throker is doing a lot of work overseas. It's actually in the financial year 2022-2023, Throker supported 1.5 million people in 23 countries around the world. So it's doing significant work across the world, wherever it's needed.
Give me that figure again.
1.5 million people
were helped.
Yeah.
In how many different countries?
23 countries.
Wow.
Yes.
It just shows that the work that's been done.
Yeah, there's a lot of work being done through our staff, our local staff on the ground and local partners. They're all wonderful, wonderful people who are doing a lot of work.
Mm. Mm. In very difficult circumstances.
Yes.
But again, Throker have empowered local people to work with local people.
Yes.
And that's the success of Throker.
It is, yeah. And since it was set up 50 years ago, it's always been this way, you know, that we believe in giving the power to the people over their own destinies, you know, that they can choose what it will happen to them.
So you're not flying people in from Dublin or Maynooth or Mullingar?
No.
Why am I picking on all the M's? But anyway, you're empowering, and that's what we saw it in Kenya and elsewhere. You empower the people locally. You put the process in place that those people can look after each other.
Yes. Yes, that's the best way to work, actually, to have local people finding local solutions to local problems.
Rather than dictating to them from there.
Yeah.
Water is a big thing with Throker, so it is. Providing water, we take it for granted.
Yeah. Yeah, we take water for granted, and in some areas there are so many people who are suffering from lack of water or from extreme weather events, you know, like cyclones and floods.
Earthquakes and floods and all of that. So just to go back then, Maria and Michelle, if it's a thing that people want to join this, it's a peaceful protest effectively, isn't it?
Yes.
A peaceful gathering.
Yes, that's it. So people can come and join us at 1 o'clock in Air Square tomorrow. And they can also make their own placards if they want, you know, with messages such as no poverty or messages of solidarity. And we'll all be walking down Shop Street together to the Spanish Arch.
Okay. Yes. So it's basically to eradicate poverty. There's no other... well, there never is another agenda with Throker, but I hope other people with agendas don't get involved in this now. It's purely to eradicate poverty.
Yes, and purely a solidarity walk. We're not asking for anything else. We just want people to come and join us, and there's not going to be any other commitments than that.
All right, listen, thank you so much for joining us. Keep up the good work. And Mayor Eddie Hoare starting that for you tomorrow, 1 o'clock in Air Square. And then walking down to the Spanish Arch from there. And the weather is supposed to be good tomorrow. You'll be glad to know.
Thankfully, yes.
We've had enough of the other type of weather, so we have.
Yes.
Maria and Michelle, thank you dear, for joining us today on the programme. Comment line's open if you want to get through to us. 086 38 33 55 3. And you can WhatsApp us or text us to that. And I hope you get a good crowd tomorrow. Thank you for joining us today on the programme. Now, very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. The comment lines are open if you want to get through to us today. Well, Barbara is nearly upon us, so it is, but I'm joined on the line by Jessica Wilson, who joins me from Barbara. The shape of quiet feelings. And what do you feel when you imagine climate change? ? Oh, we seem to have lost that line, just dropped on me altogether. Let's see, can I get that line back up again there? And... seem to have a slight problem with that line. But anyway, let me go to Jessica Wilson, who should be joining me on the line today. Jessica, good morning to you.
Oh, hello. Good morning.
Good to talk to you. Thanks indeed for joining us today. I was asking the listeners there, what do you feel when you imagine climate change? ? What colour is that feeling and what shape? Because artist Maisie Lee and you, Jessica, you asked children around Galway to use their imagination to respond to these and other questions, and their ideas and images are reflected in the shape of quiet feelings. What is this all about?
Well, we were very interested in the fact that children are often either put up as like the innocents or the activists around climate change, and we were kind of thought, well, wonder how kids feel about it. So we thought of how could we make that into like an imaginative response rather than, you know, all about the facts and the kind of scary stuff. So we ask kids about their feelings, and we ask them to turn those feelings into creatures. So they're kind of like feeling creatures that reflect how they feel about climate change.
And what type of reaction did you get from them?
Yeah, well, it was quite interesting. Some interesting stuff came out in particular. Like, they often created monsters or heroes or victims as well, but they created these creatures that had no boundaries. So they were often like enormous pile of gas that kind of envelopes the world, or a massive a kind of iceberg creature that has lost its feet or something because it's melting. Or they came up with quite very imaginative, amazing forms. And so what we've done is really, it's an audio piece with some with a kind of a visual world around it. So you sit inside this room for 20 minutes and you kind of listen to all these amazing imaginings and then see this kind of visual world around you.
It's a good way of doing it, but you've taken all of their thought processes on board from children, and then as adults you've put this together.
Exactly. Yeah. And I guess that's my practice. It's about finding ways to, I guess, kind of bring out the amazing creative capacity of kids and the perspectives that they have on the world that's very different from adults, and find ways to kind of present that, I guess, to audiences.
Yeah. And I mean, your Voices of Children from Milltown National School, Scull Salerno, and the Barbaro Children's Panel as well. So you've quite a broad spectrum of people involved in that.
That's right. Yeah, artists. I was only working on this project from afar, really, and I created the digital forms and those kinds of things that went into the schools. But artist Maisie Lee is the one who's pulled this project together, actually, and she's the one who's gone into all the schools and worked directly with the children, creating the recordings. And yeah, she was very particular that she wanted to have a really broad representation of different kinds of voices in there. Yeah.
And so it's running, so it is from the 14th of October, Saturday and Sunday, then Monday to Friday from there. So it runs at 10, 11, 12, 2, 3, 4. So it's and again, it runs on Monday to Friday, then at half past 3 and half past 4. And it's suitable for 8+.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And there's a kind of you listen to it, and then you know you're kind of inside the room, and then you make your own creature.
Now the venue for this is the beautiful Blue Teapot Theatre in Munster Avenue there as well.
That's right, yeah. The company there have generously offered us the venue, and it's a very intimate little space there, Munster Avenue. Yeah.
And what was it like for you collaborating then, Jessica Wilson, from say Australia to here, and working with Maisie Lee here based in Galway, and you being in Australia, now you're here.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's definitely been an interesting process, and a lot of us artists have been doing this since COVID, I guess, finding interesting ways to make works across oceans, and also to kind of think about how can we make projects without travelling so much, also because of the impact of jet travel, obviously. So I've been collaborating with Maisie for a year in Zoom sessions, and as I said, I've created these digital forms that are kind of like almost a workshop, but via a form, an interactive form that's gone into schools. And then I'm here also to work on I See You Like This, a kind of a big exhibition that's in the Galway Arts Centre, where children have made portraits on their adult faces, weird portraits on the adults' faces. So we've been careful to kind of create a whole pile of collaboration that's localised, so that my trip is kind of feels like it's got value.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And again, I mean, how are ticket sales going for it, do we know, Jessica?
Um, at, at Barbara. Amazing. I mean, I've been working on the project I See You Like This, and I've never had such an incredible response. It feels like the festival has an amazing kind of connection with its community and an amazing following. So at my appointments were sold out as soon as it was published.
Wow.
And The Shape of Quiet Feelings is, it's not sold out actually, there's still tickets left, but it's doing very well. And then there's the exhibition of I See You Like This, which is at the Galway Arts Centre. And of course, that's just free and open for people to walk in, so you don't need to book for that one.
Okay, so I mean, the Shape of Quiet Feelings is what the production is, and then the Galway Arts Festival, the Galway Arts Centre then has, again, a static exhibition there that people can pop into as well. Will you get to see much of Barbaro, by the way?
Yeah, I've been to a couple of shows. Gee, I've seen two fantastic shows already. I saw Polar Bear and Penguin yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, so funny. And then the other day I saw the wonderful work Club Origami by these two London-based Japanese artists, quite special for younger children. You know, I've noticed that the program is full of diverse faces and voices. So I really commend the team they've put together. Such a great program, and so great to see such diversity for children
and it's
the audience.
We've had it for many years, so we have, and I don't know of any other place in the world where you'd have something as good as Barbaro for children that ensures that there's something for everybody out there.
I mean, it's a very special festival, and I come from a long way away, and I can tell you it's definitely kind of on the world stage, has a fantastic reputation for its innovative programming, but also its localization. So it's very embedded here. It's a great balance to be able to do that, to be able to embed locally, be relevant to your audiences, but also bring in the best from around the world. So yeah, I think it's a pretty special festival. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it is, and I mean, it is known worldwide as well. But it's it's gone down extremely well here in Galway down through the years. But we've had success of excellent people running Barbaro here in Galway down through the years, and it's just gone from strength to strength, really and truly.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I don't know the machinations of the history and how it's run and subsidised, but yeah, it certainly it certainly feels like it's a very strong offering, definitely. And, you know, I guess there are children's festivals around the world, and some of them come and go, don't they? But it does feel like this one's here to stay, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Listen, thank you, Jessica, for joining us today, and have a good and a safe time in Galway and enjoy it from there. Keith has called us, said, I'm relieved the person in the crash ops at the Carnard has not added to those awful statistics of death on our roads over the weekend. Those roads, like many of our city, have been allowed to be developed without providing any safe, suitable infrastructure for people walking, cycling or driving. These frightening accidents are a result of bad planning and a reason why many of us drive around the city instead of cycling. People shrug their shoulders and say accidents happen, but as a parent of young children, I want my kids' accidents to result in a scraped knee or a bruise. Those roads need to be made safe for people to cycle on, and any new developments should have basic facilities put in as well. Now, John Morley sits off to me today. We're out and about quite a bit this week, are we? You're bringing me to a...
Yeah, we're out and about. So tomorrow we're broadcasting from the city. We're in the Lamb Institute, or in front of it, I should say, in the Baycaster. And we're doing a special programme all about the NBCRI and the great work that they do in the community. And there's been a lot of announcements in terms of funding and great groundbreaking research coming out of there recently. So we have a big lineup tomorrow. We're talking with Caroline Loughnan, the chair of the NBCRI. We also have Professor Michael Curran, who'll be well known to you and our listeners, Keith. We have their head of volunteers in that NBCRI, Joanna Downs, coming on. We also speak with some survivors of cancer. We have Faith Fahy and Dr. Orla Smithwick coming on. As well as that, we talk to some of the research team. Dr. Laura Barkley and Professor Aoife Lowry will be coming on with us. We'll have the usual Garda Sot as well. We look at fundraising, because it's a lot of funds are needed to keep the good work that they
research,
do going.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we'll have the likes of Philip Duffy and Sinead Casty coming on in terms of that. And as well as that, we'll be hearing from Lorda McHugh and Miriam Hand. And we'll also be finishing up with speaking with Caroline Loughnan and Professor Michael Kern again. We also look at Babbaro, as we're doing every day this week to mark the festival, and we have our Evergreen slot and the Garda slot as well. So it's a busy programme tomorrow. Another interesting feature that we're looking at tomorrow on the programme, not related to the NBCRI, but we'll have Micheline Sheehy Skeffington and Rose Foley. They're talking to us about a landmark equality case inspiring a new book. And so it's how we fought gender inequality at Galway's University and won. So fitting that we're coming from the Lamb Institute for that, and they'll be joining us in the Bay Castle. It's a very busy programme tomorrow, Keith. And later on the week then, we're out in Ballinasloe. We're there with the local credit union, and we'll be looking at some of the great work the credit unions are doing, and we'll have our ordinary current affairs along with that as well. So it's going to be a very busy week here as we're going around city and county.
So we'll be making air miles. We'll be gathering air miles all the way.
Like we were last week as well.
Somebody else is giving out to us this morning. Did you see that? Did you?
I didn't see it, no.
No, they're giving out to us.
Used to getting given out to.
Yeah, so am I. I kind of live me life through it. They were disappointed. And I'm shocked to hear that you went to Brussels last week and Valerie was in Spain at the weekend. After all you say about climate change and emissions, you need to practice what you preach from there. But you know what? That was an award-winning programme, so it was, from Europe, that a lot of people enjoyed. So there you go.
You need to highlight the great climate work that's been happening in the European Union as well.
Absolutely. Two miniature Jack Russells are missing from the Ballyglunin area since last Tuesday. If anybody knows anything about it, you're not guilty. We can't blame everything on you, so we can't. But two miniature Jack Russells gone missing from the Ballyglunin area. Will you call reception here if you know where it is, where they are, please, from there? What are you doing? Oh, you're going dancing.
Yeah, so it was a great informal launch night last night in the Skeffington Arms, Keith, for the Strictly for Cree, the great charity fundraiser that I'm delighted to be part of. And we were all there in the Skeff last night for the informal launch. The Deputy Mayor, Donal Lyons, was called into action. I believe he's a much better dancer than Eddie Hoare, but I'll let the people decide on that. They'll have the last say on that.
He's myself and Myra.
That's what he said. Now, I don't know if I'm taking his word.
Yeah.
But it was a great night I had by all. And if people do want to support it, they can go on to iDonate and support. I believe all tickets are now sold out for the night in question, Saturday, the 4th of November, at the Galway Bay Hotel. So it should be a very good night for all involved.
All right, 4th of November. But if they want to give us your GoFundMe page again,
just John Morley and iDonate.
Or put in mayo and I donate as well. He needs it. What are you at now currently?
I've passed my target, but it's great work. So I believe Cree need about 2 million a year to keep the work doing. They're not state funded, so as much funds as possible. But I think I'm at around the 670 mark from fundraising, and then the corporate sponsor on top of that. So you're looking at near the 800-900 mark.
Good on you. Listen, well done. Oh, to be young again and to be doing all of these wonderful things and to have the energy to do them. Listen, thanks for joining us today. So tomorrow, coming to you live from the Lamb Institute, that's going to be an interesting programme. And Caroline Loughnan, that I know for many years indeed from the University of Galway, will be joining us extensively on that. That is it for today. We're back with you live from the Lamb Institute tomorrow morning. So we are just after 9 o'clock news. And our thanks to everybody who made it possible today. Yeah, sorry, there's somebody after sending in a text there that I'd have to deal with off air, and then tomorrow morning we'll deal with it from there as well. That is it though for today. Thank you indeed to John Morley, who produced. Siobhan took all of your comments. We've assisted today between you, Julie Keith Finnegan, and all the crew that made it all possible. Thank you for being there as our listeners, because without you, it would be no fun. And thank you for the comments that you sent in to us on WhatsApp and text as well. Standby Roland is coming to you next, right, live from Studio One just here. We'll talk to you tomorrow from the Lamb Institute just after the 9 o'clock news. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.